Hi, and welcome to A Good Word Podcast. I'm Brad Bonhomme, and I'm so glad that you've joined me today for this short teaching from the Word of God. We release 3 episodes every week on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. If you don't want to miss a single one, hit the subscribe button right now. Stay tuned for today's episode. Good morning, and welcome to our series, Pits, Prisons, and Palaces, the life story of Joseph. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at key chapters and segments in Joseph's life. We've seen Joseph as a dreamer, rejected by his brothers, sold as a slave in Potiphar's house, wrongly accused and thrown into prison. Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. We've seen Joseph as the interpreter of dreams. That is, he interpreted the dreams of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. We made the statement, the cupbearer forgot him, but God did not. And last week, we looked at Joseph's radical elevation to power. And in the morning, Joseph is a forgotten slave in a dungeon. By evening, he is prime minister of Egypt. This is an unparalleled change for someone to move so far, so fast, from the prison to the palace in just a few short hours. Today, we are going to continue with Joseph's life story. And we're going to pick up Joseph's the next phase of his journey in Genesis chapter 41. Now, before we read the verses this morning, let me just bring a little bit of context. And we're going to have a look at today the birth of Joseph's 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now in Genesis chapter 41, verses 54 to 57, we firstly see, as predicted in Pharaoh's dreams, the 7 years of plenty are followed by a famine that extends well beyond the borders of Egypt. Joseph's preparations, however, ensure that food is available for the Egyptians and all the eastern Mediterranean region. Now, during this time, Joseph has 2 sons. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in our study today to Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to read a couple of verses from verse 50. Again, Genesis chapter 41, verse 50. The scripture says, during this time, before the first of the famine years, 2 sons, now notice that, 2 sons were born to Joseph and his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Verse 51, Joseph named his oldest son Manasseh. Now it's very important that you remember his firstborn son's name, Manasseh. Now here's the definition of the name Manasseh. For he said, God has made me to forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Interesting choice for a name, but very important that you write it down and you remember the definition of Manasseh's name. Verse 52, Joseph named his second son Ephraim. So firstly, Manasseh, secondly, Ephraim. Now here's the definition of the name Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. Now, we're going to explore these 2 names today, and the 2 names essentially give us a picture as to what has happened in Joseph's life. I'm very excited about our Bible study today because we are going to dig deeper into the purposes of God, and we are going to see through these 2 names how God works in our lives to prepare us for destiny. Now let's firstly look at Joseph's firstborn son. His name, of course, as we said earlier, according to Genesis chapter 41, verses 51, it says that his name is Manasseh, and the definition, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Now what we see here is essentially Joseph making a declaration and a statement that God has caused him to forget all his toil. He did not mean that the remembrance of his toil was obliterated from his mind. His mention of it when he gave his name to his son was a proof that, in one sense, he still remembered it. I do not think that this should be understood in a negative way, as though Joseph had no more interest or concern for his family. Essentially, he named him this because God had made Joseph forget the injustice of his brothers, the mistreatment by Potiphar, and the 2 years spent in an Egyptian jail for a crime that he did not commit. So Joseph is essentially saying that this sense of forgetting is not that he does not remember, but very important that you understand this, but rather to have something no longer. So let me say that again. Forget does not mean here not to remember, but rather to have something no longer. So what do I mean by that? Essentially, he is saying, I don't have bitterness. I don't have anger, hurt, and hatred, which could only harbor a grudge against his brothers and seek an opportunity for vengeance. Now, we're going to park on Manasseh's name, or leave it there, I should say, just for a few moments. And then we're going to look at the second son. And of course, his name is Ephraim. And Joseph gives us the definition of the name Ephraim in verse 52. It says, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. So one is to forget. The second is to be fruitful. Now, in fact, the Hebrew word that's used there actually means double fruitfulness. So you can see that one is to forget the grief, the pain, the hurt. The second is God has made him doubly fruitful. We can say that God blessed Joseph mightily and he was fruitful in all he did. Now, he could have been bitter, hard and critical about life, but through Joseph, we should say, kept his heart from resentment, and God blessed him with a whole new life with great authority. Quick verse for us just to dwell upon just for a moment, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Second part of that verse says, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I'm bringing us to a place of understanding in our Bible study the two names, of course, Manasseh and Ephraim, forget. Double fruitfulness for a reason. Now, what we have here is we see the preparations of God for your life. It's very important that you understand this in our Bible study today. Now, Joseph has what I want to call in our Bible study a vantage point. Now, this phrase, vantage point, is very important for you to write down and remember. So let me give you a definition quickly of what a vantage point is, and then we'll continue with our study. Essentially, a vantage point is a position or place that affords a wide or advantageous perspective. Now, let me give you that definition again, but this time when I give you the definition, I want you to remember it in light of Joseph's life. What is a vantage point? A position or place that affords a wide or advantageous perspective. A place or position affording a good view. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, this episode in the life of Joseph and the naming of his two sons has actually brought Joseph to a vantage point, a space or perspective that is now advantageous to his life, a vantage point from which he can now watch this, he can now look backward, and he has the ability to look forward. We know that Joseph became prime minister at the age of 30. And now at this pivotal point, at this hinge in his life. Joseph has the ability to look backwards and he has the ability to reach into the future. He can now look forward. Again, come back to the name of the two sons, Manasseh, backwards. Ephraim, doubly fruitful. He's looking forward to what the future actually holds. Now, when he looks backwards, he remembers turmoil, pain, rejection. But very important that you understand God's process for development in our lives. God used the past to produce in Joseph humility, trust, and good character. There is no evidence whatsoever of resentment or bitterness in the heart of Joseph. When he looks forward, he sees the providence of God. In fact, we could probably say that when he looks backwards. But when he looks forward, he is seeing his role producing double fruitfulness. Joseph has the ability in his life and in his call and in this place or march that we call destiny, getting to a place, a vantage point where you can both look backward and forward and see the hand of God. Why is this important? Well, when he looks backwards, he sees the pain, as I mentioned before. We said that it produced character, trust, humility in him. He always gave the glory to God in whatever situation he was in. Why is this important? I've brought us to this place with the two names of the sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to forget, doubly fruitful, for a reason. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and it's very important in our Bible study that you write this down, because this will act as a hinge in your life of whether you move forward into destiny or not. Watch this hinge, backwards and forwards. It takes much more grace to serve God in prosperity than it does in a time of crisis. I'm going to say that again. It takes much more grace to serve God in prosperity than it does in a time of crisis. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. It's an amazing proverb, and I need you to dwell on this just for a moment. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but watch this, a person is tested by being praised. Now, we think of testing as related to a trial, a difficult circumstance. But here Proverbs says that we are tested by being praised. Now, if you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph has attracted public praise. He's attracted public applause. And this now acts as a test in his life. This, I need to let you know, is the real test of leadership development. Well, for Joseph, this success that he's had, or incredible monumental success that he's had, is really showing us what he's like. And this comparison of a crucible for silver and the furnace for gold that we've read in the scripture, essentially what they are saying, they refine and reveal the pure metals. God had to allow Joseph to go through what he went through, because now in this place of power, in this place of looking forward, Joseph had to be at a place in his life where the name Manasseh, the troubles of the past, Ephraim, double fruitfulness, he has not forgotten what God did in him and through him, even though he was in a place of great difficulty. It produced the humility in him to prepare him for his future. And now, when he is publicly praised and applauded, he has the character that can sustain him in years of success. going to make a couple of statements, and I just want you to dwell on these just for a moment. We could say, as the crucible brings all impurities to the surface, so public opinion drags forth all that is bad in the heart of a person. Next statement, we could say, real character is best examined by the praise cast upon it. I want to say that one again. Real character is best examined by the praise cast upon it. Another statement, no surer test of a person's true character can be found than in the behavior under praise. Wow. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3 says, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Joseph has a vantage point. He looks backwards and he can see all the pain, all the struggle, Manasseh. But he looks forward, Ephraim, double fruitfulness, double blessing, double increase. Now watch this for a moment. When Joseph declares the names of his children, he does not say, I forgot all my troubles of my past and everything that's gone on with it. He says, God has made me forget. You'll see it in verse 51. All of that trouble, all of that difficulty, he puts it in the hands of God. And then you see it when he names his son Ephraim, verse 52. He says, God has made me fruitful. He doesn't say, because of my choices, because of my wisdom, my skill. He says, God has made me fruitful in this land. You see, the Manasseh season of Joseph's life produced the humility that was needed to sustain his future. Joseph was prime minister in a nation. Everything that he said and did worked. He was skilled, he was elevated, and he was used mightily. The Manasseh season of your life is not there to destroy you. It's there to produce the character in your life that is needed so that when you come into an Ephraim season, you, like Joseph, will be able to say, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. Not I, not my skill, not my stickability or my endurance. God has made me fruitful. And you will be able to say, look at what God has done and continues to do. God has been good. Now, I'm going to throw out a couple of statements to you in our podcast today. And I want you to just dwell on the challenges that you're currently going through and have been through and how God uses it to prepare us, these Manasseh seasons, so that we can come into our Ephraim season. I want to make this statement. God has taught Joseph how to cope with success. I just want to say that again. God has taught Joseph how to cope with success. It is more difficult to handle success than it is to deal with failure. Joseph was a great leader, but his greatness was related to his humility, Manasseh and Ephraim. The more a statesman is distinguished, the more laborious should he be for the public good. Now, I'm going to just throw out one last verse as we bring today's podcast to a close, and that is found from the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Please join me again tomorrow for Pits, Prisons, and Palaces. Thank you so much for listening. If this teaching has helped you, please share it with someone who may need it today. If you have a minute, I would really appreciate it if you could leave your personal review on this podcast on iTunes. Your review will help more people find the podcast, and it will encourage me so much too. If you have any other thoughts or you'd like to find out more about other resources, you can email us at info@hz.church.